Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome back to Florida Foodie. I'm Candace Campos.
And I'm Lisa Bell. Our guest today is a Florida native and a private chef. Now, some of his clients have included people like Sir Paul McCartney. You may have heard of him before.
I think so.
As well as the Rolling Stones. He also works with local kids in our community, specifically at the Paramore Kids Zone.
Yes, Savaris Allen from Kitchen Savior is joining us now. Thank you so much for joining us, Chef.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you so very much.
Hey, we are so happy to have you here, especially because you brought some special treats with you that just smell amazing.
So we wish we had smell-o-vision like we always say.
We really do. Before we get into things, tell us what you brought today.
I made a cornbread waffle. It's actually a garlic and herb cornbread waffle, little pulled pork, and a purple cabbage slaw to go on top, and then we just kind of fancied it up a little bit and drizzled some barbecue sauce over the top of it.
This looks amazing. Where did you get... Why did you decide to pair this with waffles instead of a bun?
Okay, so, you know, chicken and waffles is a pretty
right?
popular dish.
Yeah.
But I'm more of a barbecue person. So, you know, what way could you, or anybody for that matter, kind of bring in a different kind of bread or anything with your barbecue as opposed to a bun or a piece of bread? So
right.
I'm like, waffles might work. And usually if you get barbecue, you know, get a piece of cornbread depending on where you go, but there's some type of bread. So I was playing around the kitchen one day, and I was like, I told my wife, I was like, hey, I'm going to try this. She didn't think it sounded too good at first, I'm not going to lie. And then I got in there, and I kind of made the first waffle to kind of test it out. And I was like, okay, it's cornbread. So it tasted like cornbread. It was just in a waffle form, and pulled pork is pulled pork. And you kind of need something to kind of bite through all of the heavy. So I was like, okay, a nice little vinegary slaw might go on top of it. So we tasted it first, kind of like small bits, and I was like, okay, cool. Let's see what it looks like if I plate it. And so I made her a plate. She goes, it looks okay. And then my son, who likes food, he's 7 years old. He's like, Dad, that looks like a mess.
Kids say the darnest
thing. Well, I mean, he's a very honest kid, but he's like, that looks like a mess. I was like, well, you know, Sean tasted. So he's like, no, Dad, it's a good mess. It tastes really, really good. And it worked at my house, so I decided to try for a client. And so when I did it, they were like, you know, kind of skeptical, like, why would you do a waffle? Hey, just eat it. And then, like, you know, the two people they ate there go, you know what, you might be onto something here. And so when I knew I was coming here today, I was like, what can I make that's kind of quick, kind of off the scale a little bit, and see if you guys will kind of pay attention to it. But it's, you know, it's that.
Oh, we're paying attention, all right.
I love me some waffles. Yeah. I love me some pork. I love me some slaw. I love me some barbecue sauce. So
there we go.
You know how to talk to my heart. Yeah. So you born and raised here in Florida, Palatka?
Palatka, Florida. Yes, ma'am. Born and raised. It's where I call home. It's where I, you know, essentially learned how to cook. My grandmother is, who kind of, you know, taught me the ropes a little bit. When I was like probably like 8 years old, kind of going to kitchen with her. She like, Savaris, watch the pots. Don't let my food burn. So, you know, you'd have to, you know, either sit at the dining room table and legitimately watch the pots, go peek at them, or go turn something in the pot or whatever. But that's kind of where I kind of got my love for food, is cooking in the kitchen with her. And plus, you know, been a large size person my whole life. So, you know, being a large size person, I figure, you know, might want to learn how to feed yourself at some point. So we had to get in there and, you know, get it how we live, as they say.
I love that. And I love that, you know, she told you, don't be burning her food now.
And to this day, I do not burn food.
Good. Step number one about being a chef, don't burn the food.
Do not burn the food.
And it's interesting because a lot of people, I think parents especially, try to bring their kids into the kitchen to teach them the love of cooking.
Yes.
But not all kids like it. You always loved it, though.
Yes. Always loved it. And even, you know, now, my two boys, well, I have three boys. But I have a one-year-old, a four-year-old, and a seven-year-old.
Wow.
And my seven- and four-year-old, they love to be in the kitchen. Like,
that's
love.
Awesome.
They love to eat too, but they love to be in the kitchen. They're like, if I'm standing there, Dad, what are we having for dinner? Can we help you make it? And they're like, you know, they're a little bit of a food snobs.
Yeah.
They don't just want to make regular stuff. Like, hey, Dad, let's just make some, you know, let's make a salad, let's make a sandwich. It's like, no, let's make strawberry mousse. Can we? Yeah. Right.
Right.
Course, what? Yes. What? Yeah. Like, just make strawberry mousse. Can we make? Let's make hush puppies. Let's do this. Can we do this? So it's like, you know, they get it all from. They watch a lot of MasterChef Junior and other kind of stuff. They will sit and watch it religiously. Mm-hmm. Sit there and just watch it episode by episode. So they're heavy into it too.
So how did you go from just cooking in your family kitchen to actually making a career out of this?
Oh, that was it. Because I've probably been a professional chef 12, 13 years now. Mm-hmm. So what happened was I was getting ready to get laid off from a job. They had, you know, did us a favor and told us, hey guys, at this particular point, we're going to lay you guys off. So, you know, I was newly engaged, and right around the time I was getting laid off was probably about a month or so before I was supposed to get married.
Oof.
So my wife, well, she's my wife now, she goes, you should look into going to culinary school. I'm like, well, why would I do that?
Like, I already know how to cook.
Well, no, not even that. I was cooking. Cooking was a legitimate hobby. Like, I did the de-stress kind of when I come home. Mm-hmm. Like, it was fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually you don't do fun stuff for your
parents. And when you were laid off, were you working in the food industry?
No. This is everything was brand new. So, like, she was like, you should just look into it. And so, one of the few times I can honestly say I listened to her. I looked into a few schools. I looked into Valencia. And then back in that time, Le Cordon Bleu was here.
Uh-huh.
And I went on a visit to Le Cordon Bleu, and I, you know, talked to the people there, and they took me on a tour, and I fell in love with the campus and the people there, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow.
That's amazing. And, man, there's so many people who say, oh, you don't need to go to culinary school.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people. No, because they had a thing about it a few years ago in the Orlando Sentinel about is it worth the money? And me, personally, I felt like it was, because what I've done in my career has paid for my education tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more so about getting the proper education as opposed to just kind of going in somewhere and learning with somebody who's been there 20 years and who probably doesn't have a culinary, you know, piece of paper anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I've been doing this 20 years. This is how you do it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, when you go to school, they teach you proper ways. They teach you how to, you know, just like if you guys went to college, they teach you how to speak when you're in front of a camera, just like they teach us how to properly dice, mince, julienne, all of that good stuff. So it's good to have the actual knowledge of the things that you're actually doing once you get out there into the field.
The full science behind it. You were saying, I'm trying to cut this with vinegar, and that you learn the pyramid of cooking.
Yes. I've had quite a few chefs in my time kind of, you know, burn certain things into my memory because they, you know, different chefs have different palates and they want to make sure that, you know, if you're cooking their food, if you're under their tutelage, that you have to be able to do what they want you to do. So what I've been able to do over the years that I've been cooking is take a little bit from each chef and kind of, you know, bring it into my own, if you will.
So after culinary school, where did you go?
During culinary school, I started culinary school, I think it was like late June, early July of 2011. And I got my first culinary job at Disney in September. It's like September 18th.
You just dove right into it.
Well, yeah. I had no choice. I didn't really want to, but I had no choice because a couple of the students, we had gotten pretty close. And everybody's like, oh, we're going to go and apply at, like, you know, SeaWorld, whatever. So I didn't want to work at SeaWorld. No disrespect to SeaWorld, but it was like Disney. So I was like, they get in the park for free if you work with Disney. let me go and apply and work there. So I got my job there, and that's where my legitimate culinary like journey started, because working there you get to work with, you know, different chefs. They're all from all over the world, and like, you know, you're gonna learn not just, you know, American cooking, you're gonna learn, you know, everything up under the sun. It's gonna be different techniques to meet chefs. So
that was at the Yacht and Beach Club.
You
started working. But you also had the opportunity, which is kind of surprising to me, to help develop some of the menu there, which you think you go into like a big company and they're just gonna tell you this is what you have to do.
I remember that day like it was yesterday, because we were on break, me and another coworker, and one of the sous chefs comes outside, he goes, hey Savaris, come here, I need you to do me a favor. Now I'm bottom of the totem pole and I'm not even fully confident in myself as a chef. Like, I still don't know if I want to do this for a living. And so he goes, hey, listen, we're doing a soul food menu, and I need you to sit down and write it.
Wow.
And I look at him like, dude, who, me? Like, get out of my face, bro. He's like, no. He's like, all I want you to do is sit at the table, think about when growing up, think about the food that your grandmother, your mom would cook on a Sunday, put it down. Ooh. And I'm like, No. Just write everything down. So I wrote everything down, and he kind of helped me kind of piece it together, like make it. But like we created, I think he called it Soul of a Nation or something like that. But yeah, we wrote that. He said I wrote it, but it was a joint effort.
And what were some of the things on that menu?
Protein wise, we had fried fish, we had fried chicken, We had pot roasts. We had lemon meringue pie, peach cobbler, mac and cheese, hoppin' John, which is like a black-eyed pea kind of dish. The collard greens. It was a ton of stuff.
And then did you also have to teach everyone there how to make all of this?
Teach? No, because like I said, you have people that have been there for 20 plus years that have been cooking long as I'm alive. So I didn't really have to teach anybody anything, but he had me, when we did the menu for the first time, he had me oversee everything to make sure it was like I wanted it to be.
Right, authentic.
Which I still thought was crazy because I'm like, you know, I'm 20, was it 25, 26? Wow. And I'm trying to tell this 50-year-old, but you know, he's been frying chicken just as long as I've been alive. How am I going to tell him how to do it when he's like, Savarius, just make sure it looks like it's supposed to. Because, like, you know, when we go out here to tell the client about the menu, we're going to say your name. So if it sucks, it's on you, buddy. So.
I mean, is that your final moment? Because you keep saying it. I just started. I wasn't sure. I'm not. Is that the moment where you were like, okay,
I've made it?
I've made it?
No.
No.
Because see, at that time it was just it's surface. There's no real. I didn't really do anything. You know, I kind of came up with an idea, wrote it down, and somebody else kind of executed it.
But you know, that's difficult. Not everyone can do that. That's a gift.
You realize that stuff after the fact, and like later on at the moment, I was like, whatever. But like my defining culinary moment was when it was at Yacht Beach, and they had a party for, I think it was a couple hundred people, and it was a barbecue party. And this may even tie into this, I don't know. But the chef assistant who was in charge of the party, he did all of the food. And I remember they took the food to the party, but nobody ate anything. Like nothing, they didn't eat anything.
Okay.
And so,
that's not good.
Right, yeah.
And you know, me being the young person that I was back then, I kind of poked fun at the guy. Like, hey, you know, kind of sucks. How make you feel? But like, you know, he got kind of offended. He's like, well, next time we do a party, You do everything.
Okay.
And found out later that it was a total setup, because I'm like, you know, like, I'll do whatever. And so the sous chef, he was like, hey, man, listen, you just agreed to that. We got a party like a week and a half. It's 1,100 people.
No.
And it's exactly, that was my, no. Like, exactly, he was like, yeah, so, you know, and at that time, I'd done anything at barbecue. Nothing. I didn't know how to do anything. It was just, you know, all right, cool. You pour something out of a bowl, you pull something out of a bag, and boom, boom, boom. They was like, no, you got to do everything from scratch. So I legitimately touched every protein, every vegetable, everything. So we baked beans, ribs, chicken, mac and cheese, all of that stuff, scratch. Barbecue sauce is scratch, like gallons upon gallons of barbecue sauce.
Oof.
And I knew I had made it because when they put the food out and the party was over, we had zero food.
Oh, wow.
Like none.
Winner.
So
that's a good. That's
at
good.
That point, I remember the executive chef was like, hey, so that barbecue rub you make, we're gonna keep that on hand. And so you're gonna make that every so, because we're gonna use it every time we do barbecue. And I have a picture on my phone on the order form. It says Savarius barbecue rub, and it listed, I didn't give them the entire recipe. I had a couple of the ingredients of what consisted of the barbecue rub. But yeah, that was when I was like, okay, cool, I can do this. Yeah.
And so what did your mother and grandmother think of this when a lot of it is just everything that they taught you is now leading to all of this huge success? Here is their basically Sunday night menu on the menu at Disney.
Well, my grandmother, she had passed before she got to see any of this in person, but I'm pretty sure she's seen it because I feel her pretty much a lot of the time when I cook. And a lot of those foods that was on that menu, I can't cook because if I do, I'm just going to cry the whole time. But funny thing about my mom didn't think I could cook for like the longest. Like after I went to culinary school, sure, but before, when it was a hobby, she would drive up. We'll drive down from Palak and bring me food almost every other weekend. And my girlfriend at the time, who's not my wife, she was like, does your mom know you can cook? No, she doesn't. And if you tell her, she's going to quit coming.
That's
so
true.
Please don't tell her. And so she didn't listen to me. And she told my mom, and my mom quit coming. But it's gotten to the point that where now my mom, you know, she'll call, hey, Savarius, how do you make whatever. And like, was it 2 weeks ago? She was at the house, and I made fry breads, just like this little, go to Taco Bell, like a gordita, like the little bread that they wrap the gorditas in, something like that. But it's similar. And I was like, yo, you could do this. You could do pizzas with this. You can do, you know, whatever. And so she's like, well, how do you make them? So I said, it takes like 5 minutes. So I do it. She goes, oh, I'm making these in 2 days. And 2 days later, she goes, hey, I'm doing them right now. She sends me the picture. I was like, okay, I felt accomplished because I'm like, okay, my mom don't ask me anything about food because we go back and forth all the time about who's the better cook, mm-hmm. you know, if am I or is she. I say that I am, but I know that certain things mm-hmm. I can't hold a candle to.
If you ever have a cook-off with her, we want to be
sign us up, please.
Funny, cool thing about my mom's food is that, like, you know, she's legitimately self-taught, but, like, my mom can cook anything. Uh-huh. Like, she did the food for my wife and I's rehearsal dinner, mm. and even, like, to this day, like, people still talk about how good the food was at my rehearsal dinner that my mom made.
Well, you didn't stop there. So you went from Disney's Young Beach Club. I mean, we mentioned a couple of just famous
right. How do you go from working at Disney to then serving Sir Paul McCartney?
I did all of that pretty much. I think I was still working at Disney, because what happened was there was a company, Untouchables Catering. Eric John Yanton, he's the owner of the company. He called the Cordon Bleu and was like, hey, I need a couple people to come and help me. This was before that. This is the Republican National Convention in 2012 is how I got linked up with this guy. He called and they gave him my phone number. And he calls me and I hung up on him the first time. He's like, hey, is this Savara Stallard? I'm like, yeah. He's like, hey, my name is Chef Eric. I'm with Untouchables Catering. I need your help to come and cook at the Republican National Convention. And I hung up like, who the heck is this guy? Yeah.
Click.
Yeah. So he calls back and he's like, no. They said that, you know, you'd be able to help. I need five people. They said you'd be able to whatever. So I'm like, I can't help you like that, bro. I'm only one person. So he's like, do you know anybody else with your skill set? So I got a friend of mine, and we go from being volunteers to, like, he put me in charge of his hot kitchen, and he put her in charge of his cold kitchen, and we were there, a week, roughly 15 to 18 hours a day.
Wow.
And so he told me, he's like, hey, man, I do a lot of big concerts in the state. Whenever I have anything big, I'm calling you. So
that is awesome.
Listen, by this time, I'm okay. I know I'm good. Uh-huh. Before him, I was like, all right, I'm good. I'm okay. Bet he's gonna call. But someone tells you they're gonna call you, you don't expect them to really call you.
Really call. Right.
He legitimately calls, and he was like, hey, I got the Rolling Stones. They're gonna be at what was it called at the time? It wasn't called.
Amway?
No. It was at the football field.
Citrus Bowl.
Yeah, it was that.
You're making me go back several times.
And I'm trying to. Yeah. So. They were there. Yeah.
That big thing. Right, yes.
They were there, and he's like, yeah, you want to come? He's like, so he said, when you get here, we're going to put you in charge of, like, actually cooking for the band and, like, making sure the band, you know, you're going to create your own team, but you're ultimately going to feed the Stones.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay. Okay. So we get there, we do it. It was rough. It was real, real rough, but I got a couple volunteers from the Cordon Bleu to come out, got a couple of the chefs to come out. And we they gave them tickets to the concert, so they got to see the Stones and all that good stuff too. And the last day there, he was like, "Hey man, listen, they liked your stuff so much. You think you want to come, you know, to another city with us?"
Oh my! Now you're on the tour bus.
And I'm like, a groupie.
And I'm like, "You serious?" He goes, "Yeah." He's like, "Well," I was like, "Where's the next city? Is it in Florida?" He goes, "No, it's in Raleigh, North Carolina." I was like, "You?" Like, my wife was pregnant at the time. Like, dude, at any moment. So I was like, "Hey, listen." Do you mind if I go? I was like, I might be gone a week if I'm gone. And she goes, if I have this baby while you're gone.
You're not going to hear the end of it.
Right? So yeah. I go, and it was freaking amazing.
I love how you still went. if I have this baby.
Because she told me that I could go. I was like, are you sure?
She said, it your first baby?
Yes. It was first baby. 2015. This all happened in like June, July. And so I go, and the cool thing about it was we got to stay in the same hotel as the Stones. We got to do a lot of stuff I don't think regular people get to do at a hotel.
What was that like? Was there a hotel, like, surrounded by groupies? Were people trying to get in?
Well, they're older gentlemen, so it wasn't...
It wasn't crazy.
It wasn't too crazy. Yeah. But the thing about it was, like, I remember one night we got done, you know, they were rehearsing or something. We got done, we got back to the hotel, and me and a couple of the guys, we're dirty, like, we're just food everywhere. So there's like, oh, let's go get some drinks, whatever. So they go and get drinks from like a convenience store that was like up the street. We go back and we go. Now this is a 5-star establishment. Now we're dressed like we don't belong in a 5-star establishment. And so we walk right out. They have like a patio, like balcony type thing, and it was like this lake or something. So it, you know, we didn't know that it was like, you know, plush like that. So we go, we're dirty, we sit at the tables, we just kick our feet up, you know, throw our drinks down, we're sitting there, and the manager comes, he goes, excuse me, gentlemen, you guys have to leave. I go, leave where? He goes, leave the hotel. He's like, you're not allowed any outside beverage, you're not allowed this. I call Eric. Hey man, listen, they just kicked us out of the hotel. He goes, what do you mean? He's like, show him your badge. So I pulled my badge out. He's like, oh man, we're with the Rolling Stones, sir. Oh, I'm sorry, gentlemen, you guys carry on.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you know who I am?
Listen,
you got to use that one.
Listen, I was so taken aback by it because I had never had anything like that happen before. Right. And I was like, so we literally just broke a rule. But you're like, yeah, you're with the Stones, bro. You're good. Go ahead. Do your thing. It's okay. Everybody, don't worry about it. Carry on.
Right. What great stories to have. And to tell your kids.
I have a bunch of those, man, just because I feel like I've lived a very charmed culinary life because, I said, I've only been cooking 12, 13 years. And I've done way more in that 12 or 13 than most people have done, you know.
In a lifetime.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and you're paying it forward at the Paramore Kids Zone.
Listen, I lucked into that also. I don't know who's gonna see this, but it's all about who you know and not what you know. Because I don't feel like I know enough to be like to do all the things that I've done. I get the information as I go. But with the Paramore Kids Zone thing, buddy of mine, I'm gonna say his name just because he's my best friend. He's the best man at my wedding. Mr. Joseph Caesar. He called me. He goes, hey man, listen, I want to get these kids some cooking lessons, and I want you to be the one to do it. And I'm like, Joe, I don't me. Because I'm a little rough around the edges, and I like to have fun. I'm a big kid also. So it was like, he's like, no, I want you to be the one to do it. And so we kind of, you know, talked a little bit about it. And, you know, it was very, very humbling to be in a place because, like, the kids that I serve, and I say I serve them because that's exactly what I do. Mm-hmm. It was me when I was, you know, because was it 12? 11 and 12, 6 and 7th graders, or 7th and 8th graders, I'm sorry, 7th and 8th graders. I got like 15, 18 kids. But, you know, at that age.
7th and 8th graders?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. That is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, at that age, you kind of think you know everything. You don't necessarily want to listen. It's, you know, they're.
And you're not bringing like a video game to them. You're bringing them cooking.
Right. Yeah. So.
They gotta work.
So yeah. We started, and it's my fault. I haven't probably taught them nearly as much as I probably could have, but it's just been one of those situations where, like, I don't want to see them fail at anything, and I don't want them to do anything, because at that age, you know, you make a mistake, the world is over, and you don't want to try it anymore, and you don't want to do it. So I've been kind of coddling them a little bit, but it's, you know, we'll get it to the full fledged point of me being a legit, like, you're not Gordon Ramsay, but like
yes,
a little
chef.
Bit,
yeah. Yes, yeah, yes,
but chef. The kids I have, they're legitimately interested in food. Yeah. A lot of them, you know, they're into weird stuff, but they're into food. It's rewarding. It's very, very rewarding because, like, you know, when I come in and they're like, okay, what are we doing today? Or what are we gonna eat today?
Yeah.
So it's one of those situations where, like, I definitely, it probably ranks very, very high on the list of things that I've done in my culinary career. It's probably top two or three.
It is a wonderful thing to introduce young kids to the art of cooking and the importance of nutrition and food and how you can take something from, you know, a carrot or whatever and make it into something beautiful and nutritious. And that a lot of kids are never exposed to stuff like that.
And a lot of them, seriously, they're not. And the thing is, you know, they don't like something because they haven't been exposed to it. Mm-hmm. That's usually the situation because it's like, you know, we don't eat that. We don't have that here. And it's like, well, you know, once you leave wherever you're at right now, they're going to have it wherever you're going. So you may as well familiarize yourself with it. Mm-hmm. That way you're not looking, you know, totally odd when it presents itself to you.
And showing them that there is this whole career path out there, you know, where you can do so many cool things.
And that's the other thing, what I like about what I'm doing with them and just speaking in general, because I used to go and speak to the kids at the Cordon Bleu also, because it's going to get a little serious real quick. Because when it comes to, like, you know, African-American males, either you're, you know, some type of entertainer or you're a ball player of some sort, and, like, you know, kids really don't know any other success outside of that. So for me to be a chef and to be, you know, what some would call a very successful chef, and to show them that, hey, man, look, I pretty much grew up how you grew up. You know, situations are almost identical. Not to say I made it, but I got to a certain
point. You made it. You made it.
But I got to a certain point to where, like, you know, I am able to now, you know, show somebody the ropes, or yes. give them a little bit of, yes. you know, as they say, game on yes. how to get themselves from over here to over here.
And that's so important for everyone, you know, to figure out, okay, well, how can I go from, you know, being someone who may like to cook in my kitchen to actually having a career? So.
And the thing about that is most people would tell you, oh, I don't know how to cook.
Yeah.
Cooking is one of the easiest things a person could do. The one thing that you
need... Easy for you to say.
The thing about it is... If you guys are saying, like, oh, you don't do it that well and you can't, it's probably because you guys lack patience.
I would agree with that.
And patience is...
you know it so well.
And patience is one thing that you legitimately need to cook, because if it takes 5 minutes, it takes 5 minutes.
Yes.
Don't do three. Don't do two. It takes five. Just, you know, you have to pace yourself, and you kind of have to want to mm-hmm. do it. Right. And you have to, just like with anything, you have to find that want or that why. Because if you don't have that, no matter how hard you try, you're not going to be successful at it.
You have to want it to be excellent.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have to hear the story about Sir Paul McCartney, though. How did you come into contact with him?
Same situation. Untouchables Catering. I can't say that company's name enough, or say Eric's name enough, because legitimately in the beginning of my career, anything big that I did had something to do with him. But it was a one day thing. He did a concert in Tampa at the Amalie Arena, and it was, geez, he called me at like 8 o'clock in the morning. He was like, hey man, can you get over here by like, you know, one?
You're like, what?
Well, he said get there by one, and I was like, all right, well, what are we doing? And he goes, oh, we got Paul McCartney, and we just, cause I guess he got the call late to come over, cause he doesn't live in Tampa. He lives kind of, I forget where Eric lives, but it's out in the middle of nowhere somewhere. He has a farm. But he's like, yeah, I need you to get over here. I'm like, all right, cool. So I asked my wife, hey, can I, you mind if I go do this? I promise I'll be back.
She wasn't pregnant, was she?
No. She wasn't pregnant. She's like, no, okay, you can go, but just you have to be back same night.
Okay.
No problem. So I go. So I call him, like, hey, man, I'm on the way. He goes, hey, before you get here, well, you know, Sir Paul's, I think he's like a vegan or whatever the heck it is. He's like, so, you know. No animal product, nothing. If you have a leather wallet, leave it in the car. If you have on a belt, you know, pick another one. Like, you know, shoes, like wear, like, you know, like, he's like, because they will turn you away.
Right. So you had to leave your leather chaps at home.
Listen, I had to leave them at the house. I think I might have left me the trunk, but no. So I get there, and it was legit. It was like, you know, he had like crazy security, and that whole animal print thing, it was serious, because as I was walking up to go into the place, they was walking three dudes out.
Wow.
Whoa.
But, you know, and the crazy thing is he brought chefs with him. So they were like, they had to have been from the UK because they had accents like they were over there. But he's, you know, so we cooked everything vegan and vegetarian, like tons and tons of stuff. And it was more so, you know, like I was helping. But we, you know, he walked through, thanked everybody, you know, hey guys, thank you so very much. And nice guy. Yeah. But it was like, you know, I was like, okay, cool. Now, how do I explain this to people? Because, like, who's going to believe that? Like, you know, oh, yeah, but Paul McCartney, yeah, I'm like, yeah, you know.
There's this guy.
But it's like I said, it's one of those situations where, like, you know, it could have been anybody. And I just felt like I said, I've lived a very, very charmed culinary life because, like I said, it's, you know, it's situations mm-hmm. like that to where, like, you know, most people can't say that they've done something like that.
Yeah, well, it seems like you don't turn away an opportunity. You know, a challenge, you take that challenge on.
I try not to because every opportunity usually leads to another one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, I'm a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to, like, my profession.
Right.
My outside life is, I live in a gray area. and my wife hates that. But, like, when it comes to what I, like this, it's black and white. It's right or wrong, mm-hmm. and that's how I do it. And every opportunity, I'm like, okay, cool. You're going to get 100% the best of me, point blank, period. And if it's not, you know, if my best isn't your best, please tell me what your best is, and I'll do that.
Wow.
So right now people can hire you for special events, kitchen private savior. Parties, and that's what you're specializing in Central Florida. Unless you're with the Rolling Stones and travel.
Yeah, can you pencil a
sitting? And meal prep. At the current moment, I got a website being built because I was telling... I sound Tiffany, and I've been trying not to publicize myself because everything I've done so far has been word of mouth.
Yeah.
I have Instagram, I have Facebook, Kitchen Savior for both. But I try to, you know, try to stay low key because, mm-hmm. you know, it's not that I'm afraid of the notoriety. I just feel like for me, any notoriety that I get, I have to tell somebody else about who helped me get to that particular mm-hmm. point, because I feel like nothing I do is solely 100% me.
Where did the name Kitchen Savior come from?
Okay, so that's a good story. It was, I was, because the whole point of me going to culinary school was for me to own my own business. I never really want to work for anybody, mm-hmm. Like in a restaurant. I mean, I have, but the point was to go learn how to cook, be a personal chef. You know, that was around the whole Food Network star times. That's mm-hmm. how everybody was trying to be a famous chef. So I was like, okay, cool. What kind of name can I give myself? And I don't market myself as a faith-based business, but I'm 100% in the Christian faith, 100%. I believe in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 1,000,000%. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm praying, like, God, please, like, give me something. And what does he do? My wife walks in the room.
Of course she does.
Hey, I know you're thinking of names for your business. I think it should have something to do with our initials. And I'm like, why would you not even gonna be doing anything? But why are you? And so we had this insignia for when we got married. It was like K and S. I'm like, okay, cool. If it's a K, because my wife's name is Kim. And I was like, if it's a K, okay, Kitchen has to be the first name, because what else am I gonna put?
Yeah, kangaroo.
Yeah, something. Yeah, excuse me. So I write down Kit, and I forget a bunch of the names I put with S, but none of them made sense. And like the very last name I wrote was like Savior. So I wrote it, I'm like, Kitchen sounds like, but that kind of has a nice little ring to it. Uh-huh. And so I call it, because this was like at midnight, like legit. It's like, nobody should be up. So we're up. And I'm like, yo, what are you thinking of this? She goes, I like it.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not just going to go off of you. And it's like I said, it's a little after midnight. So I randomly text 20 of my friends. Hey, listen, I just came up with a book. What do you think?
You're that friend.
At that time, I was like, I liked it. So I wanted legit mm-hmm. confirmation. I didn't want to sleep on it. And so I, you know, like 20-some-odd people, out of those 20-some-odd people, believe it or not, like 15 to 16 of them actually got back with me immediately. Half of them hated it. Half of them liked it. And I'm like, okay, cool. Out of the people that hated it, who do I really like or care about their opinion?
There you go.
And out of the people, I'm like, okay, cool. So we went with it. And it's been it. And every time now that someone sees it, they see my logo, and they say, oh, man, that's amazing, yeah. And initially, it'll start a conversation. Like, oh, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? And, you know. Yes, yeah. Yes, I am, and I just so happen to do food. But there's your story.
Can we try this?
Yeah, why not?
Yes. Where can people find you if they're interested in meal prep, if they're interested in personal chef?
Kitchen Savior on Facebook, KitchenSavior.
Oh, man, I'm so excited for this.
They'll see the logo when it pops up. Same on IG. I am on both of those entities regularly, so you're more than likely going to hear from me immediately.
Mm-hmm. So if we have a party and we'd like...
Now, when you say we.
Lisa and I are hosting a party.
So, is there a size limit for or minimum, maximum requirement?
At the moment, because I'm a one-man wrecking crew, uh-huh. I usually try to cap it at like 100, 150
okay.
people.
Oh, no, I don't have 150 people.
No, we don't have that many friends.
If it's smaller, then yeah.
For 150
but yeah.
people.
But no.
Oh my gosh, this looks so good.
Yeah, then, you know, email is chefsavaris@gmail.com. I have a website coming that's in the works, so you guys
Cheers.
Will be...
Cheers.
She got the full bite. Let's see.
Mm. That is amazing. Mm-mm-mm-mm. I love the two sauces. That's like a Carolina sauce,
yes.
isn't it?
Yes.
Which is like the... More vinegar, yes. mustard type base. Mm-hmm. I've got to go back for more.
Have some of that slaw.
So, when you come up with new concepts, are your children, your wife, your guinea pig, who yeah. tells you, you know what, this is great, mm. or...
My wife and my children are my guinea pigs. They're the okay. only people who have seen me fail miserably at cooking.
Give us a fail. What did you do that was a fail?
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
Is there one thing you cannot, like, you just... Have tried, but you just are not satisfied. Is there any type of food that you just...
No, because I'm not a quitter.
Okay.
Let's see.
What is the easiest thing you think for people like Candace and I to make?
The easiest? It's everything. Nothing is difficult.
Just have patience, Lisa. Right?
Because see, the thing, like I said, the thing about cooking is mm-hmm. it's patience, but there's also a want. So... Mm-hmm. Mm. And you think about a recipe, right? I tell people a recipe is just a template. It's, you know, mm-hmm. it's directions to get you to where you're supposed to be. So it's like, okay, this is how you start. This is your end point. everything in the middle, yeah, you could do it this way. It's like directions driving somewhere.
Yeah.
If you make a wrong turn or if you kind of keep straight when you're supposed to go left, what does Siri tell you? Rerouting. So right. You just reroute. Okay, cool. So if you don't like that you're supposed to turn left on whatever road and you want to go straight because, you know, you can still get there, that's what you do. So if you don't like garlic and you want to put more onion or you want to put more something else in it, you do that. But unless you're going to, you know, make a recipe true to form, doesn't matter.
Okay.
All right. You've inspired me. I might cook tonight. I might. If there's one person that you want to cook for, who would it be?
Oh.
Anybody in the world.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to lie. This is, if I could cook, like, does that, did it have to be famous?
It doesn't have to be famous.
Okay, so legitimately, just because this person has never gotten to taste my food, I would, if my grandmother could be alive,
wow,
that's the person. Mm-hmm. Hands down.
Good answer. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
That was a great. You almost got me to cry a little bit.
We don't want
that. That would be the person simply because it would mean a lot to hear her opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'd know her opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. I think she would be very, very, very proud of everything you've done. Yeah, and continue to do. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us,
ma'am.
On Florida Foodie.
This
was fun. This was delicious. Check him out. He's amazing.
I mean, the moral of the story here at the end of the day. Your wife was right.
You know what? I'm not going to say that. I'll agree with you, but I'm not going to say it.
No, good answer.
My wife is right a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Safaris Dallin, it was fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right, dig in.
Thank you for listening to Florida Foodie. We'd also like to thank our guest, Safaris Dallin. You can find his business, Kitchen Savior, on Facebook and Instagram. Be sure to follow Lisa Bell online, search Lisa Bell News on Facebook and Instagram, or Lisa Bell News 6 on Twitter. You can find Candace Campos on social media as well. She's on Twitter, just search at Candace News 6, and on Facebook, search Candace Campos News 6. Also, a big thank you to our technical producers, Derek Mosier and Ryan Haley, our post-production audio engineer, Chris Flora, and our directors, Rich Burns and Bob Myers. I'm the show's producer, Thomas Mates. Please take the time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or wherever you stream podcasts. And you can find videos of all of our podcasts on clickorlando.com and on YouTube. Just search for Florida Foodie.